This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. We're back after a short hiatus, and you're still talking about the Mass Effect 3 ending. Plus, Kinect integration is coming to another AAA title. Do you like this trend? Tonight is April 15th, 2012, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore, what would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
What does this button do? This is too new. I don't get it. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. We're back after a couple weeks, and if you are with us, join us over in our chat room, chat.allgames.com, right here on All Games Radio. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, and a little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Bobby Blackwolf Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. And yes, you can use the toll-free number, but if you're a recruiter, it's probably not going to get you much. If you try to call me with the toll-free number. But I thank you for the offer, if you're listening. But I'm not a senior mobile developer, and I'm not looking to relocate right now. But I'm back after a couple of weeks. Almost didn't do the show tonight for several reasons. One, I haven't really played video games for the past couple of weeks. And two, I kind of didn't want to extend the backlog of shows for the podcast. But then people started showing up in chat looking forward to the show. So I'm like, I'll go ahead and do the show. There's no Orange Lounge Radio tonight because Rob is at Disneyland because of Electronica, the Tron-based rave that takes place over in California Adventure. I actually had the fortune of going to it once back right after E3 last year. We all went over there, Rob, Jamie, Dan, and myself. And this is the last weekend. Tonight is the last night of Electronica, and Rob, with his Disneyland season pass that he gets every year, has taken a trip down to Anaheim to take part in Electronica one last time. So there is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. It's just me. I'm not going to go long because I don't really think I have that much to say. But basically, I have been gone. I've been out of the country. I typically try not to announce ahead of time when my house is going to be empty for a lengthy period of time. But it did span two Sundays, which is why the last two Sundays have been silent on this front. Went on a cruise, for anybody that really wants to know about my personal life. Went on a cruise. I was a best man at a friend's wedding. He actually got married on the ship by the captain, which was a nice little ceremony and everything. And I usually wouldn't have brought it up, but I want to talk about something. It's not necessarily a video game. This is more like geek nerd culture, movie related part of the trip that I actually did not expect. We went on a cruise to the Eastern Caribbean, or however you want to say it, potato, potato. And, you know, you're thinking, you know, yeah, beaches, ocean, you know, all that type of stuff. And yes, there's a lot of that there. Happened to go into St. Martin, M-A-A-R-T-E-N, by the way. And this is on the Dutch side. There's a Dutch side and a French side. And we pulled into St. Martin, one of our ports of call, and we saw in the little cruise thing, the cruise line will actually give you like a thing that says, here's where you should go, and they're all jewelry shops, every single one of them, except one, it said Yoda Museum. And we're like, that's cute, that's a nice little typo, because like I'm there with a couple friends of mine, because you know, it's a wedding party and stuff, so some friends that I've had for quite some time, and we looked at that and we're like, oh, that's a funny little typo, it's really probably like the Yoga Museum or something. Or, you know, Yoda is something that is, you know, a Caribbean thing, that we just, you know, are kind of clueless about. And we're like, oh, that's kind of cute, the Yoda Museum. But we were walking around, and then suddenly, as we're walking down the street, there's jewelry store, overpriced electronics store, more jewelry. There was a Starbucks, more jewelry and everything. We go, and yes, there actually was a building that looked like it belonged on Tatooine. And it's actually that Yoda guy Star Wars Museum. Now, what this place is, and I think you can go to thatyodaguy.com, what it is, it's the guy who designed Yoda. And he also worked on a lot of movies doing like prosthetics and audio animatronics type stuff. His name is Nick Maley. And he retired in like 1995. And or he's semi-retired. He still consults on some movies, I believe. But he semi-retired to St. Martin. And he now has a nonprofit museum of all of his work in St. Martin. Star Wars, he also worked on Highlander. He worked on Men in Black, Alien, Hellraiser, and all this stuff. And basically, he's got a museum with full-size stormtroopers, a lot of, like, he had an Ewok, a Jawa blaster, full-size alien, like 9-foot-tall alien from the movie Alien. And he had Connor McLeod's sword from Highlander and all this stuff, and he was actually selling stuff in there, and he was actually there. So you go into this place, it's in the middle of the Caribbean, beaches, sunny skies, you know, all that stuff, and here's the one nerd place in the entire Caribbean. And he's actually there, and you can ask him questions what he worked on. He's very proud of his work. He'll go through and show you things. He'll sign, if you buy one of his artworks, he'll sign it and dedicate it to whoever you want. And he'll go in, you go through his little museum thing, and he's got all the Hall of Creepy Faces, just like Futurama, where it's all the actors that he did prosthetics for. And, you know, they just have their molds, and he does the prosthetics on the mold and before they do it on the actual actor. And so he's got the Hall of Creepy Faces of everybody he's worked on there. And he's got a lot of the original scripts from The Star Wars, Adventures of the Starkiller, which was the original draft of the first Star Wars movie. Sketch art of like what the Wookiee was originally supposed to look like, and thankfully they changed it. But also just a lot of other stuff from various movies. He has like the newspaper, the Daily Bugle from the first Superman that they held. And what was interesting about that was that, you know, they did the headline and the picture, but all the text, it was obviously a movie before people had pause buttons and DVRs and high def where they would read that stuff. It's all just like text they pulled out of the Wall Street Journal that day or whatever. It hadn't, they didn't actually write the article. But it was really interesting, and that was kind of the surprise of the vacation. So if you're actually ever down in that area, he actually did ask that I mention it, because he's trying to get visitors and stuff, because it's a nonprofit. It benefits some local charities as well in the St. Martin area. That Yoda guy, Star Wars exhibit in the middle of the Caribbean. Havoc978 says, did the Starbucks have jewelry? We didn't go into the Starbucks. St. Thomas, which is the U.S. Virgin Island that we went to, they had like Pizza Hut and Burger King. We didn't go into those either. Kaijudo asks, was he selling a Yoda puppet? I want one of those. I didn't see that. He was selling mostly like posters, movie posters, and artwork and stuff that he did. And I think he did have like some figurines and standees that you could get, but no puppets. So anyway, video games, that's what the show is supposed to be about, not Star Wars museums in the middle of the Caribbean. Like, literally, the beach is, like, right behind. You walk outside and you can see the beach from the front of this Tatooine-looking building. And he actually did have pictures of him, like, working on a Yoda statue, like, on the beach, and, like, stormtroopers on the beach and stuff. It was, me and my friend, we did the Live Long and Prosper sign in all of our pictures in front of the place, because It upsets one of our friends. Video games, anyway. That was the happy story. Now we're back to reality. Now that I'm back from no internet, it was nice. And starting off on a little bit of a downer, but it was a great contribution to my childhood. Escapist Magazine reports that Jack Tramiel, who is the founder of Commodore International and an influential in the history of Atari, died earlier this week. Basically, Commodore 64, that was the computer that I basically grew up on. and it got my start in computer programming when I was like 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And we had a VIC-20 as well. So I think my dad actually says the first video game I ever played was on a VIC-20. So it was Commodore products is what I was really raised on. Jack Tramiel was the one to thank about it. His backstory is he survived the horrors of the Auschwitz concentration camp during the Second World War and emigrated to the U.S. in 1947. And then he started a typewriter repair company in 1953, naming the business Commodore Portable Typewriter. In 1955, he launched Commodore Business Machines, CBM, in Toronto to get around U.S. restrictions on imports, specifically Czechoslovakian typewriters from Warsaw-Pact countries. And then with the help of investor Irving Gould, Tramiel rode the company through numerous ups and downs until 1977 when it launched its first computer, the Commodore PET. While successful, the PET these days is pretty much a footnote to the glory of the VIC-20, launched in 1980, and its follow-up, the one and only Commodore 64, which came to market in 1982. The Commodore 64 was a true phenomenon, selling anywhere from 12 to 30 million units, depending on who you ask, making it the best-selling home computer of all time. I think I have 5 of those units upstairs, and none of them work. He was a major figure in the evolution of Atari following his resignation from Commodore in 1984, after which he formed a new company called Tramiel Technology Limited. In July that year, Tramiel acquired the struggling consumer division of Atari Inc. from Warner Communications after they had pretty much destroyed the company, which had purchased it from Nolan Bushnell in 1976 and rechristened Tramiel Technology to Atari Corporation. And then in 1996, that company merged with JT Storage and then sunk into bankruptcy. But Jack Tramiel with the Commodore really launched a lot of people's interest in computers. Especially those that were kids in the early 80s. You'll find a lot of really great game designers and developers and programmers and stuff will say that they really got their start on a Commodore 64. And there are still people in Europe, especially now, still programming for the Commodore 64. The demo scene is still alive for the Commodore 64. The Commodore 64 had amazing sound for the time. It had 3 voices at once. The SID chip can do 3 voices at once. And then they had a expansion where you could do 6 voices at once, 6 different notes playing at the same time on a computer. Whereas at the time, PC had the PC Squeaker where it was just like one note and stuff. It was, yeah. Raginator in chat says, the VIC-20 used cassettes for storage instead of floppies, right? Well, they used cassettes, and you could use floppies, and actually you could use hard drives. It was not dependent. The storage device was not connected to the computer. It's kind of like today where you have USB devices. But no, I had a tape drive. I actually still have some tapes that have some programs on them. But I also had a disk drive. And then I also remember having like a 20 meg hard drive, and like that was huge. 20 megs. It's huge. That could like store all my games. All of them. But I even had the 2 disk drives and stuff like that. I even ran a BBS on a Commodore 64 way back in the 80s. I think it was Image BBS was the BBS software. I actually ran it. I had a modem. I was on Q-Link back in the day. Q-Link, which was Quantum Link. Quantum Computers was the company. Then Steve Case renamed it America Online. But I was on it before AOL took it over. So a lot of my background is in the Commodore area, and I still have a soft spot in my heart for Commodore. So condolences go to the Tramiel family, and I thank him for basically starting me down this path. So let's talk about current games, because now that apparently Breakman has said that I have out-nerded the rest of the internet, I doubt that. I'm not going to claim that, because then somebody will try to out-nerd me, and they will succeed. People are still talking about Mass Effect 3, by the way. Like, I leave the country for weeks, and I get back, and what's the first thing I hear? Mass Effect 3 ending. Oh, my God. It's over. It's over, I guess. Get over it. Move on. Guess what? It looks like one of the consumer protection agencies out there agrees with you complainers out there. That's right. The Better Business Bureau posted an official blog post about the controversy, And essentially what the blogger says is that they here's some examples from MassEffect.com about Mass Effect 3. So these are advertising lines from Mass Effect 3. Experience the beginning, middle, and end of an emotional story unlike any other, where the decisions you make completely shape your experience and outcome. Along the way, your choices drive powerful outcomes, including relationships with key characters, the fate of entire civilizations, and even radically different ending scenarios. So the issue at stake here, according to this Better Business Bureau blogger, is did BioWare falsely advertise? Technically, yes, they did. In the first bullet point, where it states the decisions you make completely shape your experience, there is no indecision in that statement. It is an absolute. The next statement is not so absolute. It says your choices drive powerful outcomes. A consumer would have to very carefully analyze that statement to come to a conclusion that the game's outcome is not wholly determined by one's choices. This statement, really, though, is very subject to interpretation. Also, this is just a small example of their advertising and does not take into account anything that might have been said as far as their public relations and other advertising campaigns. The lesson to be learned here is companies should give careful consideration to how they word their advertisements. Otherwise, there could be detrimental effects, especially in the era of social media and online forums. The Better Business Bureau has kind of said that, yeah, BioWare did kind of falsely advertise. You guys actually have a point. And creative freedom goes out the window. So I'm tired of talking about the Mass Effect 3 ending. I still haven't even really played much of Mass Effect 1, but I'm tired of talking about the ending. Apparently BioWare is going to actually did cave, and they're going to put in some more conclusions. They're not changing the ending, though, so some people are still upset. But the retake Mass Effect campaign did raise $80,000 for Child's Play before they were told to take it down, and apparently not that many people actually asked for refunds like Penny Arcade had said. What up, GS asks, has anybody ever sued over a video game ending? No, but this is the one that would happen. This would be the test case. I am surprised there is no class action lawsuit yet, but now that we have statements like from the Better Business Bureau that BioWare did act improperly, I can see that adding fuel to the fire, and somebody may actually take the case. So, moving on from something that is I'm tired of talking about, let's talk about actually something that Mass Effect 3 did that wasn't related to the ending that I actually didn't mind, and I wanted to bring this up. This is a big announcement to an already well-received AAA title. Skyrim. Kinect is coming to Skyrim on the Xbox 360. CNN reports that the Kinect functionality in Skyrim will be available in 5 languages, English, French, Italian, German, and Spanish, and it's going to come out, the English version, on April 23rd. Project Atom, Bethesda began formulating Project Atom as the idea of merging Kinect's voice capabilities to Skyrim shortly after the game's release in November. So basically what it is, it's going to be just the voice integration. They did not do any of the movement or anything like that. So it's basically you can now shout, do the dragon shouts, and hope that it knows the right one. And you can also like change, instead of basically bringing up the hotkey menu, now you can say things. And you can bind things to specific words that you say. And you can also go through the menus as well with Kinect. Is this really what you expected for Kinect integration with the $120 camera that you bought? All it does is voice recognition. Like Mass Effect 3 did the same thing, but it's just the voice. It's not the camera. Do you feel kind of cheated out of your money a little bit if you did buy a Kinect, when all the big games they're doing are just using the voice sensor? They're not using anything else. Do you think that, you know, maybe they could have just done this with a headset, kind of like what EA Sports did with, I think, their NFL head coach? You could actually say things into the headset and it would do voice recognition. Raginator asks, is Kinect support in Skyrim really necessary? No, because they're not taking out anything. And basically all it is, you know, you can. Their idea is the same thing as using it in Mass Effect 3, where you can actually give your squad mates commands through your voice without having to bring up, pause the game, bring up the radio menu, and to tell them what to do. So Kinect's kind of doing the same thing, where if you want to, you know, Fuzro Da someone, all you got to do is yell Fuzro Da in your apartment, waking up your neighbors at 2 in the morning, and you Fuzro Da'd them and annoyed your neighbors. And this is only on Xbox because Mass Effect 3 on PC does not have the voice recognition. So what they're basically doing is they're using the Kinect libraries, I guess, and because the Kinect sensor actually has some processing in it to handle this, so that's why it's only on the Xbox. And I bought Skyrim on PC, so I'm not going to get to do this, even though I have a really nice microphone that's connected to my PC. Burr says, I'm tired of voice recognition being a Kinect-only feature when it's not even really the main thing Kinect does. Watch Dragon says, Fuzro Da turns into mist. Damn it. That's the other thing, is that, there's the lag. It's actually, you know, you say it, and then it takes a second or two for it to actually go off, which in an action sequence is not exactly good. And B, it's not always completely accurate, especially when you're mouthing fake words like dragon shouts. DC Nate says, someone who uses Kinect has already sufficiently soundproofed their room and blacked out the windows to block out any neighbor snooping. Shadow Next Gen says, you can also use the map more efficiently with Kinect. You can actually find things a lot easier. You can actually say Whiterun and it will highlight Whiterun instead of you having to try to go to it. And you can also do some sorting things, which is actually some mods, I think, on the PC that some people have done, like sort by weight when you're in a shop or sort by value. And they've added that into the new patch, which I'm hoping you can still do with a controller. You don't need Kinect to do that. Raginator says, what I meant by the Kinect Skyrim thing, the Kyrim, Skinect, was that, in my opinion, not every game needs Kinect support shoved into it. I think what this article was actually saying is that because you're not going to be waving your arms, because they're not going to get rid of the controller. But the idea to merge Kinect with Skyrim came from one of the game's designers after its release last year during a game jam where game designers are given a week to work on whatever they want as long as it's related to the title. Ricky Gonzalez, a programmer on Skyrim, came over the idea of using voice commands to do things within the game. So it was basically a lot of tech companies will do this where they'll, let you just be creative for a week. And Google also does this a lot, and that's where a lot of the Google Labs stuff comes out of, they'll say, okay, work on something for a week and then present it to the group. And if it's, if we really like it, we will put it out there. And Portal 2 came out of a lot of these type of game jam type things. A lot of the features that we loved in Portal 2 all came out of these 1 week work on something and then present it to the group at the end. So one last story that I want to talk about, because this is a game that... now that I'm back, I'm like, I wish I had Microsoft points to play it, but I need to go buy another point card because I'm not giving them my credit card number. Apparently, I need to wait a little bit for the first patch on this. Joystick reports that Fez programmer Renard Bernard, that's a fun name to try to say, notes that 20,000 people have played their new indie game that just came out on Friday, not on Tuesday, in the past 24 hours. More than having its 5 years of development, adding, so as it happens, bugs popped up, some pretty serious. So there is a small subset of older Xboxes with smaller hard drives that can't run this game, and also the games have problems running off of a USB stick, and that in a rare situation, by exiting the game from a wall village interior, a save file can corrupt. It's kind of nasty stuff. He says, quote, we will be working internally with Microsoft on these issues and let you know more later. It makes sense to issue a patch, but we currently don't have an ETA on it, unquote. Those experiencing game-breaking problems should let Polytronic, who's the company that developed it, know by email, not by tweets or anything like that. Quote, sorry and thanks for understanding, and we're thrilled to see the vast majority of you are enjoying the games it was meant to be, unquote. So, Fez, this has been around for about 5 years. I remember seeing it at an independent game festival a while ago, and it won all these awards, and it's actually kind of interesting. Fez is the game that brought back doing 8-bit style chiptune type games, but giving them a modern twist, which there have been other games that have come out since then. They were inspired by Fez, but they got finished first. Fez is a 2D platformer that where you can switch to where you're a 2D character living in a 3D world, and you're guided by a 4D Tesseract around this world to collect things. And that's basically the idea of the game, is that you have this Fez, because Fezes are cool, on your 2D character that allows you to change to 90 degrees around something. So that kind of gameplay creates the puzzle element of, now an impossible jump is very possible because now you're looking at it from a different perspective. And you're still a 2D platformer, but you have four ways that you could be looking at the same space. And so you have to rotate around to get to where you need to get the cube, so the universe does not collapse with you in it, because that would be bad. So it's a very interesting game, and I've played the trial, and I'm need to go get some points to go get it. But be careful of where you save, apparently, and don't put it on a USB stick, and have a newer Xbox, at least until they patch it. But that's what, when you're a small developer, you don't have that much QA thing, QA time, even though it took them about 5 years to make the game. And apparently don't expect it on PC, because the creator, Phil Fish, I think is his name, says that it's a console game designed to be played on the couch, and he is not going to release it for the PC, because it's not meant to be played on a PC. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take your calls, because I'm sure you have a lot to say after the last couple weeks, and you can tell me everything that I missed. You can tell me all about PAX East, because that's not where I went on my vacation. And we can talk then. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
If you want some cake, listen to the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
You want some cake? You have to listen to the show now. Oh. Now that we're back, that was only like 4 minutes. There was a 4 minute break and not a 2 week break. Anyway, welcome back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show here on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get a 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep, even if you cancel before the trial is over. You can make anything your free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/BobbyBlackwolf. So for the first time in 3 weeks, the phones are open. I'm kind of scared. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and talk about anything in the game industry. Talk about what I've missed in the last couple weeks. If you went to PAX East, tell me how PAX East was. Did you see a Vita there? I heard that there were no Vitas there. Everybody had 3DSs in the handheld lounges. Were there any good April Fool's gags? Because I was out of the country when April Fool's Day came around. I did see the Google Maps Quest Google thing. The 8-bit thing, that was kind of cute. What Up G says, Valve had a cruel April Fool's gag about Half-Life 3. Everything about Half-Life 3 is a cruel gag. It's not just if it happens on April 1st. Some people during the break were talking about the comment I had made about the console-only version of Fez. And essentially, you know, people were like, has he never heard of gamepads or anything like that? Apparently, he's made the programmer has made some very controversial statements and has actually turned a lot of people off to his game. And that's one of them, where he just completely disregards the PC. He says it's a console title. He's not going to make it for PC. It's designed to be played on a console, on a couch. Even if you can sit on the couch with a controller and play your PC games on the TV, he's not releasing it for PC. He says he's not in it for the money, like the Team Meat is apparently, and he would rather have the experience the way he wants to have you experience it. We do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Beep, 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 beep. It's Jim Sally.
Hey, Bobby, what's up, man?
Jim Sally. Everybody was worried the Jim Sally train was not coming today.
People, the Jim Sally train comes every Sunday, even if Bobby's not there to get on.
I know. What happened the last 2 weeks?
I called our nine cast, man, and me and SG had some fun. Yeah. We had Canada to talk with his wife, Bridget. That was pretty good.
There you go.
Oh, maybe that's not his wife. Maybe they're not married. I don't know.
Uh-oh. You're starting drama already. 39 seconds into the call, you're starting drama.
Listen, I don't want to tell people how to live their lives, but SG, she's a nice girl. You should marry her. Anyway, Bobby, I called to talk about Skyrim today.
Okay.
People. Do you also enjoy playing the Skyrim, Bobby? I believe
I do.
Have you found yourself a companion in Skyrim?
I have, although I have not taken her with me anywhere.
Oh, Bobby, you should take a companion with you everywhere. I found out the other day that not only can you dress them up in the stuff you find that you don't like, mm-hmm. they'll just carry stuff for you.
Yeah.
Like, you can carry around twice as much stuff and then go to the store and you sell all your stuff and then you grab all their stuff and you sell all their stuff too.
I should do that, but I'm always afraid that they're going to die.
Let them die. Who cares, man? The other thing I found too, Bobby, sometimes they don't die. Sometimes what happens is they get like stabbed a lot and then they fall down and they do that like, oh, I'm hurting. Oh, please don't kill me anymore. And then all the other guys leave them alone and come after you. So you kill everybody and then your guy stands up and goes, oh, thank man. You're like, yeah, carry these swords for me, stupid. And he carries the swords for you.
There you go. I will try that.
It's a whole new game, Bobby, playing with a buddy. It's a whole new game.
I will try that. Because I'm always worried, you know, like they'll run over towards the giant, and then the giant will make them fly into space, and then
yeah, that happens sometimes.
And then they won't be there for my wedding. They'll just be also, dead there at my wedding.
Also, what's happened with me a few times is when they go into that, like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Where they grab a knee, like the guy just sits down and grabs a knee just before he dies.
Right.
So they'll go into that mode, and I accidentally put an arrow in his knee, and he dies. Because the enemies won't kill him, but I can still kill him. And it's sad when you have to restart the game 5 minutes before and redo what you just did.
Save early, save often.
It does it for
yeah.
Bobby, did you turn on all the autosave thingies?
I did.
Now when you go to the menu every 5 minutes, it just saves for you. It says, hey, stupid, I'm going to save for you. And I say, oh, thank you, Skyrim.
Yeah. And actually in the Kinect thing, now all you have to say is quick save.
Oh.
And then it saves. You don't even have to go into a menu anymore. You just say the word.
I want to buy a Kinect now. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I saw an advertisement. Is that what the feature is for Kinect?
Well, they're doing a lot. There's a lot of stuff with Kinect, like all voice commands. But yeah, no, it's you can actually say quick save, and then as you're falling to your death, you can say quick load, and it will load back up before you even hit the ground.
I really want to Kinect now, Bobby. I've been avoiding it this whole time because the games didn't look good. But I didn't even think about augmenting the games that I already play.
Yep.
Oh, Bobby, this has been a very informative Skyrim conversation today, people.
Did you miss me?
I did so much, Bobby, man. But I know you're out having a good time. And you know what, people? Bobby needs a vacation sometimes. Not only so he can recuperate and revigorate, but so that we can know how much we love him when he's on Sunday nights. You know what I mean? So if Bobby's on Sunday night and you are listening to him, then maybe you're listening to the best show on the world, or... No, it's the best show in the world. Okay, everybody, have a good night.
Thank you, Jim, Sally. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll-free in North America. Yes, Skype is working. It's just I only take one call at a time. So we do have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Yo, Bobby, it's Xenocor from the OKC. How you doing?
Xenocor, what's up, man?
Welcome back to the airwaves, dog.
Thank you, man.
I actually have a side discussion that somewhat involves Skyrim,
okay.
But actually involves most PC RPGs in general.
All right.
I'm burned out on them. They do nothing for me anymore.
Why is that?
And because Batman Arkham City and Arkham Asylum is just too f***ing good. No, it's like the combat... Just the way the combat is designed, I don't think there's been any RPG game in recent memory that has focused on a real visceral combat system, like physical combat, to where you're doing the majority of the work. It's not all abilities and clicking on buttons.
Well, and seeing to me, that's what I actually like about RPGs over, you know, the more like shooters and stuff, was where, you know, I can suck and still be good.
Well, I mean, like, for instance... Dark Souls and Demon Souls goes in that general direction, mm-hmm. but that's a dungeon crawler. It's meant, the difficulty is the half the reason you're playing it. Mm-hmm. But in Mass Effect doesn't count because it's mainly just shooters, so I'm not classing it in that. And Mountain Blade is mainly a conquest game, so I'm not classing that. But Mountain Blade does it phenomenally. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised nobody's ever really used that as a mechanism for doing an RPG or something else like that. And I'm getting burned out of the rest of the stuff because it doesn't hold my attention anymore.
So you're not a fan of, like, you know, the Skyrim and Mass, or not really Mass Effect, but like the Skyrim and the other Western RPGs, or does this also go to the Japanese RPGs as well?
Well, I guess so, but like when it comes to Bethesda, I'm not expecting them to do anything in great detail as far as the combat is. Those guys are all environment. Mm-hmm. You know, Bethesda games are known for their environment and what you can do within them. You know, BioWare, I'm expecting good storyline over anything else. But I have not seen anybody focus on the way the game is played and make that really enjoyable to where you could just run amok all day and, you know, actually have some combat that you have to think through. I mean, not that the stuff in Arkham City is that difficult mm-hmm. as far as the way it's done, because you're just mashing on one button, really. And then every once in a while you use a second or third, but it's visceral. You're actually playing a hero that can manage 20 mooks just running up to you, and it gives you the ability to go through that the way you want. But I guess Arkham is the only one that's really played with that scenario, but I can't think of any other game that even steps in that direction.
Dynasty Warriors?
No, because that's the main thing I say with that is that's not really a role player either. That's a straight action game. All the action games like Dawn of War and stuff, they let you, or not Dawn of War, God of War. That's what you expect.
See, but you want an RPG that plays like God of War.
I want an RPG that plays like Arkham Asylum.
Okay.
Just that if you, I mean, any player character in an RPG universe is supposed to be the stuff right off the bat. You're just level one, but mm-hmm. at level one, you're better than every peasant, every, you know, like yeah. beat cop or whatever in that town because you're a player character. You're just that much over them, and no game really pushes that forward to where you see exactly how bad you are,
yeah.
in my opinion.
So this is why you should become a game designer and make that RPG.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying, but the man's holding me down. Oh. I got to go back to school and get my programming under my belt.
Damn so. The man.
Yep, damn the man.
We have other calls coming in, so I'm going to let you go. Thanks so much, man.
All right, then. Take it easy.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. No Orange Lounge Radio tonight, so actually I can take calls up for another probably 12 minutes or so. So we have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up? This is Kaijudo. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Kaijudo. What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to touch on two things that you mentioned earlier. The guy that made the Fez game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, kudos to him. I it doesn't look like it's the type of game that I would want to play, but I think I would buy it just to support him because I like that he's putting his foot down. And he's basically telling people, hey, you know, I want my game to be enjoyed. My game is not meant to be played on the PC, so I'm not going for that. You know, I wanna get the best quality I can get out of my game, and for him, that's the console. So yep. I appreciate him for that.
And, yeah. and that's basically what he said is that, you know, he's not in it for the money because he knows, like, Team Meat, when they put Super Meat Boy on the Steam, it made him so much more money, and he's like, I'm really not in this for the money. It's a console game. It's designed to be played on a couch with a controller, and I'm going to force you to play it on a couch with a controller.
Yeah, not Blizzard. BioWare. They need to. They might need to hire this guy as the head of BioWare because they need. You know, they need someone with. I'm not going to say the word, but it starts with a B. They need somebody with that.
Oh, you can say balls.
All right, they need somebody with balls to run BioWare because they're just backpedaling for these people, and I don't agree with it.
Well, I mean, they, you know, it's when you're in customer service and stuff, you kind of sometimes have to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because they're even having to do it in the Old Republic because they did some promotion, and then it didn't affect enough people, and so some people got upset, so they had to change the promotion to involve more people, and still there are people upset, but they do a lot of backpedaling on a lot of stuff because I think that they're not. They make some decisions, and I guess I don't know if they really truly think them all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of biting them because what's happening in the Old Republic is that they're giving away 30 days of free game time with their new legacy system that they just put out. They put out a big, huge game update this past week, and they said,
"I need to get on there. I actually have the game." So.
Yeah, so the 1.2 came out finally, where they have the legacy system and the UI customization, all that, and they're like, okay, what we're going to do is, you know, we're going to reward our most valued players. That was the term they used.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, if you have a level 50 character, you will get 30 days free of game time. And so everybody who didn't have a level 50 character because they have a life or whatever, they're like, no, this is bad. This is BS. You know, what? Am I not valued? Is my money not as good as those people who have no life and made it to level 50 and stuff? When, you know, I made it to level 50 playing like 1 or 2 hours a night, and I made it to level 50 in like 2 months. So it's not that difficult, but, you know, I can see why some people, if they play a lot of alts and stuff and don't stick with one character, yeah, they probably wouldn't have a level 50. So they backpedaled and said, okay. So now we'll give the 30 days of free time to anybody who hits, quote-unquote, legacy level 6. Which you can get either you have to play through chapter 1 to even unlock the legacy on it, one character.
Yeah.
And then you could either have one level 50 character. That'll get you there, or you could have like two characters at 45 and 44, or three characters at, you know, basically it's you gain legacy levels on every character on that server, and they expanded it to that. And then people still complain because they're like, "Oh, but I play on multiple servers and my money's not as good to you and yeah." Mm-hmm. So they're backpedaling on all that.
I mean, with that, I'm just going to say this real quick, just because I do actually own the game. Mm-hmm. And what you just said there does rub me the wrong way, because I just feel that maybe in this case, it should just be they should just reward the people that actually purchase their game and keep it at that, not so much like their gameplay status. I don't like this route that some people seem to be taking, where like they want to reward your gameplay instead of, you know, what you put into it financially. I think you should always be rewarded that way. Not saying that you should be getting a higher level because you put such and such money into it, but I'm just saying that the people that supported the game, I think they do deserve those extras if they ever put those types of things in there.
And me with my level 50 character, I'm fine either way because I get my 30 days. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
But I'm just going to go real quickly into this real fast.
Okay.
The Kinect thing with the with Skyrim. I just want to say I think that's a great idea. I hope they keep going in that direction because I would like to see some people that maybe don't have a movement of their arms or legs or whatever, like to see them enjoy some video games. So good thing they're doing there.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
All right.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Two other people were trying to call in, so that's why I'm continuing to take calls. There's no Orange Lounge Radio, so if you're waiting for them, Rob's off at Disneyland celebrating the last Electronica. Breakman says, Legacy level 6, I'm no expert, but level 6? Legacy levels advance really slowly. And basically, you gain legacy experience anytime you do anytime you gain experience on a character on the server. So, I mean, I have a level 50 and a level 25, and I'm legacy level 9. So that kind of gives you a little bit of that. We have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Blender, bud.
Blender, what's up, man?
Nothing. How are you? Did you get all refreshed? You got a tan?
I got a burn. I mean, yes, tan. Yes, we'll call it a tan.
Yeah, I've been out there in Virgin Islands when I was back in the Navy.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet out there.
Yeah, it is.
Reason I called you, there's... Since you've been gone a couple weeks at home, there's been a really big updates. Mm-hmm. They've released two new games. Three, actually. Two public games. One of them is Cutthroats.
Uh-huh.
Battle for Pirate's Cove is where you take you get four people. There's six ships per instance that you're in, and four people can get on one ship. One person, you know, pilots it, and you got three cannon gunners. And your avatars shoot at each other's cannons across the bows, you know. It's a fun game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that came out last week. And the other one is they got the section Edo of Nippon. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's you get a bamboo samurai sword, and they have ghosts, a mini-game that you and a group of friends can go and try and beat these ghosts for free rewards and stuff. And the third is Battle Box, they call it. And that one's for private spaces. I mean, somebody has to buy it, and it's $10 to buy the whole package, but you get the game itself, plus you get 15 items of furniture where you can build forts for these little battle bots, and any one of your friends can come into the space and start playing, and it's basically a third-person shooter with this little, you know, look like a stuffed animal robot, like a miniature Halo chief, you know, and he runs around and shoots down these robots.
So yeah, because when you say BattleBots, I think back to the actual BattleBots competition. I don't know if you ever saw it. They actually had a show on Comedy Central.
BattleBox, B-O-X.
I bet because BattleBots is trademarked.
Yeah, it's mini bots. It's a little character, and the neat thing about it is you can create your own little battle arena, and you can put it in any one of the personal spaces that you own. And one of your friends can come in, and they can just start playing. You know, and there's like up to 100 levels, I think, you can play. And right now they don't have rewards for guests, but Juggernaut Games, the people that created it, they're the same ones that did that Cutteridge space. I don't know if you saw that one, the Haunted House one on Home.
Nope.
But they're planning on adding a multiplayer feature to it and offering rewards for guests that come into your room and play it. And everybody that I've had come in and play the game, they said this is really good. It's a lot of fun to play. And there's a demo version in the Action District on Home is for anybody who wants to try it. You get up to 5 levels you can play.
So Home is still live and kicking. Serving ads.
They're hinting at there's going to be an RPG coming out sometime within the next month or two. That they're going to have an actual RPG game playing.
So does that mean I'll be able to finally take a sword into the Central Plaza and start cutting down the cybersex?
Yeah, you probably could.
Good. That'll make me...
I really don't know how it's going to work with that, but the RPG. But yeah. Good. Yeah, there's a lot of new stuff happening, you know. I just, like, Aurora Island that they have is where you collect orbs. It's kind of like an Easter egg hunt. You get up to, it's free to play, and you can pay to buy the boosters. They get you a little faster, or you can do it just daily grind yourself, and it's 100 levels of that, and every 5 levels you get a free reward for your personal apartment, and when you get up to level 100, you get your own free personal space. So, a lot of neat stuff.
Well, cool. I'm, glad to hear it. Anything else on your mind?
Yeah, one other thing. I picked up a game on the clearance aisle that I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people have played it, but anybody who hasn't, pick up Singularity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know if you've heard it.
Oh, well, we played Singularity back on my other show.
Yeah. And that game, I hadn't played it before, and I just bought it. I bought it for $19, new at Target. And it's a great game.
Yeah, it was a very interesting one. I think our consensus was we wish it was overall a little bit better, but it was a really neat concept.
Yeah, short and simple, kind of a dumbed-down BioShock, but the story itself was really good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate
it. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
So I'm going to see if we're going to get one more call tonight. I don't know if we are or not. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Once again, Orange Lounge Radio not occurring tonight. They are Rob's at Disneyland at the final Electronica, so there's no OLR. They will be back next week. So if you're waiting for Orange Lounge Radio, unfortunately, you're going to be waiting an entire week. So this is going to be our final call of the evening. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, this is Mike from First Odai Industries. I was hoping to ask you about getting a job as a senior mobile developer.
I'm not interested at the moment, but thank you for your interest.
Oh, well, that's a problem. Shall I try again? Hello, this is Mako from chat.
Mako, what's up, man?
It's only taken 4 attempts to get through, but never mind. Firstly, Fez, yes, buy it.
So you're liking the Fez. Is this like this year's Braid or Limbo?
It's a little bit too early to call, because I'm about, according to the in-game leaderboards, I'm 80-something percent into it.
Which is higher than everybody else on my friends list combined, by the way.
Well, my friends list started off with me on it, and that's it. And then Wilcon started playing, and he's about 20-odd percent. But the top of the leaderboard is about 200-and-something percent. So I don't know if there's... I know there's an awful lot for me to actually go through, and there's an awful lot of stuff in it, lots of tiny little bits, fantastic detail in there. And the problem is, because you're going to be playing it, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will be.
Yeah. I really want to say things about it, but I know full well that it will spoil it.
Yeah.
There are so many little bits of spoilers. This is far, far worse than the Mass Effect stuff that I have absolutely no interest in whatsoever. I want to speak about it, but I know I can't. it is something absolutely fantastic. Even my mother was impressed by the beginning.
Yeah, and see, the trial actually doesn't do much at the beginning, because I was like reading a little bit of stuff about it, and like it goes into this stuff that's in the beginning that's not in the trial. It's like the trial just like dumps you in, and it's like, okay, press A. Okay, you jumped. Now press left trigger and right trigger. Okay, cool. Have fun. And I'm what's going on?
The introduction to the game, it's not that much of an introduction, but the introduction awesome in as to itself. Mm-hmm. Just for a start. Second thing is, I don't want to talk about it anymore, don't want to spoil it for you. Second thing, Google Goggles.
Yes.
Or Google Glass or whatever it's called. Right. What do you think?
Is that the thing that's, I think I had that on my cell phone, it's something like where you could take a picture?
No, not that one. That is Google Goggles. I'm talking about Google Glass. It's the glasses with the little bit on the side which projects into your eye, sort of thing. Google released
Never saw it.
They announced it, I think in the last fortnight, they had a promotional video where they showed this theoretical use of it, like a heads-up display in real life sort of thing.
That would be interesting.
The video itself looks... The video that they put up is very hipsterish.
Right. Well, Google is very hipsterish.
Not really, but the video that they put up is extremely hipsterish. Mm-hmm. And they had Sergey Brin walking around in some place with the glasses on as well, saying that they are apparently working. But no, it's a fantastic thing. I would love to see what they do for gaming with it.
Yeah, that would be, especially now that we're getting more into the augmented gaming thing, you know, with like the Vita and the 3DS doing a little bit of that. Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah, when you said Google Goggles, I'm like, I've got that thing on my phone. It does images.
My mistake. It's not goggles. Yeah. It's the glasses or glass or whatever they want to damn well call it.
I will look into that. I've kind of been disconnected from the world for a while, so I will go look into that.
All right. Oh, dear. But yeah, you enjoy Fez as much as my mum has enjoyed playing or going through and solving one of the puzzles for me.
Now, that is the thing. Like, do the puzzles get, like, insanely too difficult?
Yes.
Okay.
I will gladly say yes. I don't want to give away too much because it is so absolutely fantastic. But there are certain aspects of it where I'm sitting there going, oh, I don't need to sit there and play it on a couch. I need to be at a desk. I need pen and paper for some of it.
You need Google Glasses.
Well, no, I don't need Google Glasses.
Well, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
Enjoy your remaining time on the weekend.
Thank you.
And so on. Bye.
So that is it. That's all for me, Bobby Blackwolf, here. I will be back next Sunday night. There is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. They're off for the week. We will both be back, both of us, next Sunday night, along with our Ninecast before us. Sunday night, I start at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. Catch the show live and interact with the show directly. Voicemail on any topic, just no job offers, or a bumper piece on our show on this toll-free number, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3, bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Facebook, hopefully once I get the podcast feed updated, I'll start updating the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. I'm on Twitter as Bobby Blackwolf, or BobbyBlackWolf.com is the website. AllGames.com is the community. There are live shows on every single night here at All Games. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. Having a little bit of a break, sometimes we lose people, so it's good to remind people that we exist. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters who convinced me to still go on the air tonight. Thank you very much, DC, Nate, Derek H., The Rob D., Tiger Claw, Burning Paper Sun, Bird, The Blue Guy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Hecht, Shadow Next Gen, Silly907, THK, Act Deft, Alpha Canagram, Ash Fox, Asmodeus, Billy OK, Card Freak, Cidabria, D5T, Dark Tetsuya, Eric K., Eswat, Funnydale, Hitstun, Blender, Innerlogic, Kaijudo, Nuxonic, Loserly, Mako, Matcube, Melted General, MXT, Necromoss, Niche, Porn Man, who's Breakman, but he's into porn today. Raginator, Ruben, Shade23, Tedekin, THK, Toagak, True, Warham, Watch Dragon, What Up G, Willie C, Xenocore, and Zether. So that's it. Now I gotta see if I remember how to end the show. That's the button I hit to end the show. It's been a while. It's been 3 weeks. Good to hang out with you guys. See you guys next week. Don't annoy your neighbors with the Kinect integration, or annoy them a lot if you don't like them. Bye.
A winner is you.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of All Games Radio or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios for All Games Radio.